This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Show 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Eric Burns of MLB Network joining us now. I'm Bill Baby Tauschman. See Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler here as well.
I believe you're supposed to reference him as Ping Pong King when you bring him on.
Oh, that Eric Burns, am I supposed to reference you as Ping Pong King when I bring you on to the Wendy's Big Show here?
Ping Pong King. I mean, I'll take that title, sure. I'll put my game up against anybody.
Yeah, I've heard of matches with you and J.J. Hardy. Is that accurate?
Oh, dude, no. J.J. Hardy, he whipped my butt on the racquetball court. You guys have no idea what J.J. Hardy's capable on the racquetball court. I mean, it is next level. I've never seen anything like it.
I thought racquetball was for old guys.
I mean, this guy, and I believe, and I did have to go back and do a little research on this, but I believe his parents were like world champion racquetball players.
Get out, really?
So we were at the the LA Fitness in Scottsdale one day, and JJ Hardy's agent was my roommate at UCLA and one of my best friends, Mike Seal, and we went out there and. Seal and I have had some battles on the racquetball court before, and we're pretty evenly paired up. Mm-hmm. And then JJ came out, and as soon as he busted out the goggles, I knew we were in trouble.
Oh yeah,
you're in deep once you bust out the goggles.
Can he put it down? Can he put it down in the corner? No, real, real low.
Every time.
Yeah, see, that's
so
how you get
it. It's the kill shots. It's almost like he started rallying with us a little bit, just so it was somewhat entertaining. And if I believe it was, he gave me, you know, you played a 15 in racquetball, I believe. And it was like, I had to get 3 points, the bet was.
That's it?
Yeah, and I didn't come close. I think I got one.
Oh, my God.
So, Eric, racquetball, I know golf. What other sports do former MLB players like to still get competitive with?
Well, first of all, speed golf in my case. So
speed golf? What's speed golf?
Well, it's speed golf. You guys probably haven't heard of this because most people haven't.
Uh-uh.
And I hadn't up until a couple years ago, but
okay.
I got into doing ultra running and got into doing triathlons and 100-mile races and stuff. And then basically a guy asked me to come out to play 12 hours of golf. And it was for a fundraiser, and as you go out there, you play as many holes as you can. And so within the 12 hours, I ended up playing, I think it was 245 holes, which unofficially broke a world record, which was set at 237 a couple years before that. And then this year, my wife and I started a foundation called Let Them Play, all got getting kids outside and keeping them active. 60% of kids no longer do after-school youth activity program.
No,
97% of public schools no longer have everyday physical education.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did this big, long venture across the country last year, handing out grants as I swam, bike, and ran across the country. And then this year, our big event was speed golf. And it was a 24-hour speed golf session in which I chased the world record, which was like 402, and it was set 47 years ago by a guy by the name of Ian Colston in Australia, and it hasn't been touched since. And believe it or not, there's been a few people who have attempted it. I'm sure that's probably Greg's first question, is like, who would ever go try such a thing?
Not us.
Yeah, but speed golf, you tee off and then you run to the ball, or what?
As fast as you can. Yeah, you play every hole as fast as you can. So I ended up playing 420 holes and was able to was somehow able to get the record, and it was a pretty cool thing.
Now, are you carrying your golf clubs, or how does that work?
I was going to say, as a 300-pounder, I got to ask if there's a golf cart involved.
Yeah.
No, absolutely
running.
Not. Just one club.
Oh, just one club?
Yep.
And what club? Was it 7-iron?
A woman's 8-iron, actually, because it's light, easy to carry.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it had one of those, like, really big backs on it.
Yeah,
right?
Totally makes sense.
If I smoked it, I was hitting it 200-plus yards.
Yeah.
But it
so
also
you're halfway there. Your second shot, you're on the green.
Yeah, exactly. And so it also had the loft, too, in case I got stuck in a sand trap or anything. So
that is nuts.
Man, that's straight crazy.
This is amazing. Nuts. Eric Burns of MLB
Network.
I'd be in
traction trying to do some
former MLB outfielder joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show, telling us about just some crazy work that he's been doing. So, Eric, now let's talk about some baseball.
Let's
you played outfield at the highest level, and there's a couple of guys on this Milwaukee Brewers team doing it at the highest level. Start out first with Christian Yelich.
Yeah, you know what? The more I look into Christian Yelich and his numbers and what he's been able to do so far, the more I'm starting to think that he's pretty damn near the best player in the game.
Yeah.
And I understand there's a guy by the name of Mike Trout, but like what Christian Yelich has been able to do now, two seasons in a row, I think the thing that gets overlooked with him is the stolen bases and the efficiency. So it was like, I don't know what it was. I was just looking at it. It was like 23 bags. It's barely been caught at all. And it just the model of consistency, what he does against lefties as well as righties. I think the OPS is damn near 1,000 against lefties and obviously up over 1,000 against righties. But, I think he's one of those guys that when, from a player's perspective or an analyst perspective, we talk about the best players in the game being consistent, right? Showing up at the ballpark each and every single day, having a nice consistent approach, having a routine, just really simplifying the game. And that's what this dude has figured out how to do. And I think it's a joy to watch on a nightly basis. Now, I do believe it's going to be an absolute showdown between him and Cody Bellinger for the National League Most Valuable Player, but he's one of the best things going in the game of baseball right now. And to be honest, he makes my job more fun being able to analyze him regularly.
Talk about this Brewers team versus, say, the Cardinals and the Cubs. I look at all three of them, and I say all three of them have kind of been letdowns this season as far as expectations coming into this season. I thought all three teams would probably be better than they have been.
Yeah, I don't know what to attribute that to. That's why I think at this point it's sort of anybody's division still. I would say, maybe I'd give the slight edge to the Cubs, but they haven't really done anything that made me think, oh, yeah, this team's great and they're going to run away with the division. So that bodes well for Milwaukee. I was just looking at their playoff percentage chances. Obviously, everything's numbers here in baseball. They have like a 28% chance of making the playoffs right now. And then a 1.1% chance to win the World Series, in case you guys were wondering.
Right.
Eric Burns joining us from MLB Network here on the Wendy's Big Show. And Eric, when you look at how pitching as a whole has gone in Major League Baseball, the trade deadline seemed for some to be a letdown. For me, looking at it, it just seemed like everybody trying to learn a brand new system and sellers wanted the moon for guys that really you probably should have been able to go to a discount store and be able to buy at a higher price there.
Yeah, I don't – the trade market was weird. I don't think anyone really expected no one really knew what to expect because they basically took away the waiver trade deadline, right? So before you could have, the unofficial trade deadline was July 31st, and now this one, where before it was in August, and so it just, it was weird. And then you had teams like, for example, the San Francisco Giants, and this is what the second wild card has done, which I think is obviously a great thing, is that it's involved more teams, and so it's made these teams make very difficult decisions. And so when you're a larger market, say like San Francisco, well, or even the New York Mets, obviously when they go out and get Marcus Stroman, and everyone thought they were trading Syndergaard, and we had no idea who else was going to go from that team. Zach Wheeler was another guy that was talked about a bunch. But then all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, boom, here's Marcus Stroman. Now, I can tell you this because I'm close with one of the executives with the San Francisco Giants, and basically what he said, like their approach going into it, was, yes, they're instead of looking to get better for like the right now, they want to make their baseball team better. Now, but not necessarily 5 years from now, but it's like, we want to make a baseball move that could help us now, but in the long term, is going to really help us. And so that's the sort of deals that I don't think it was just them, you know, thinking that way. I think it was a lot of these teams thinking, you know, maybe next year as well and 2 years out, whereas before it was like, dude, just give me, and I'll give you an example, like Cleveland Indians. So they bring in Framil Reyes and Yasiel Puig. Mm-hmm. Well, Yasiel Puig is the help now, right? And then Framil Reyes is the, hey, help for the next 5 years. And then them trading Trevor Bauer away. So, you know, they give up a good starting pitcher, you know, borderline great at times, but at the same time, you can make an argument that, you know, their offense, which needed help, immediately got better, obviously, with the acquisition of those two guys.
You know, do you think the Cubs are a bit of a disappointment? Because I think most people saw them assemble this team. They thought at least maybe two or three World Series. And really, if you look at them this year, they're still scuffling and struggling like they were last year.
Yeah, if you look at it, I mean, they have a really good home record. They're 41-19 at home. They're 23-35 on the road. So I kind of look at the Cubs, and that doesn't shock me at all, because I kind of look at them as one of those teams that they need to be challenged. They need to be pushed. They went through such a high, and they're dealing with a lot of the same personnel on that 2016 team. Mm-hmm. But look, here's the reality. We are so far past 2016, and a lot of Cubs fans are still living off of that. So I just think that, you know, looking at the Cubs, you put them in these high pressure sort of situations, you know, a situation where they're going to have to play their best baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, personnel wise, I do believe that's the best team in the Central, but you know, it's a risky road to walk down, because we saw that last year when Milwaukee went in there and took it to them. And next thing you know, they were on the outside looking in.
Right, and then I was going to ask you then your thoughts on the Milwaukee Brewers, because I think they are, on paper, a little challenge if you're talking them versus the Cubs.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's certain things I like about the Brewers, obviously, starting at the top with Christian Yelich.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of it's about being healthy. And you know, what is this, Woodruff or you know, whoever. I mean, look, they got Lyles, which is a – hopefully he'll be a nice pickup for you guys, you know, down the stretch. And then plus you have Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy. Like you have these experienced baseball dudes that know what they're doing. And I, of all the guys that I ever played with, I could tell you that Craig Counsell, if you were to ask me who I thought would be the best manager, I would have put his name at the top of the list.
Really?
100%. Innovative thinker, not, you know, obviously very even keel, you know, but cares. And you know, he's going to do everything in his power to put his guys in a position to succeed. He's not going to panic when, you know, things get really down, and he's not going to get too high on the highs. So, yeah, I think they have the right guy at the helm. It's just, you know, it gets to a point where it's not necessarily up to the managers or the coaches either. It's up to the players going out there. Number one, they have to be healthy, and number two, they have to play up to their potential.
Talking with Eric Burns of MLB Network. You can catch Eric across all of MLB Network studio programming. Plus, tomorrow's Brewers Twins game will air exclusively on YouTube at 1 Central. Fans can access it youtube.com/MLB or search MLB on the YouTube app and get the game for free live. No login required. Eric, one final thing that I wanted to ask you is, as a young player coming into the heat of a pennant race, Keston Hira is one that's doing it at a tremendously high level here in the first 200 at-bats that he's had as a big leader. And also Trent Grisham coming in and playing the outfield and playing it with guys like Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich, who are Gold Glove caliber defenders. How difficult and how much clout do those guys get in that clubhouse being able to do it at a young age?
Well, Keston here, I've followed him for a while now. This kid went to UC Irvine, and obviously he was a top draft pick, and so I followed his progress through the minor leagues and getting called up to the big leagues. He's an interesting guy for me because he has a really simple approach where he hits the ball up the middle, hits the ball the other way, yet at the same time, you know, this dude also strikes out a lot. And so that was a red flag that I would say that there was in his game, and he doesn't walk a ton, you know, but he has this totally advanced approach, and he's hitting balls like where you don't see other guys, you know, hitting balls
yep.
up the middle the other way. But the other thing about him is just this presence, right? Like he looks like he's been there before, and so he has this really sort of veteran thing. And another really interesting thing on Keston Hiura is he whacks off speed pitches, whereas usually the younger guy comes up and he's hitting off all fastballs. Well, you look at his numbers. This was about a week ago when I was checking them all out, but look at his numbers against like breaking balls or off speed pitches in general, and he absolutely kills them. So I think what's going to happen is, you know, and you've already seen it a little bit, is the league's going to make an adjustment to him, and then you got to go, you know, he's going to have to go back and make the adjustment back to the league and play a little cat and mouse game. But I do believe that so long as he is able to have the discipline within the strike zone, so long as he's able to figure out a way, and he doesn't have to be perfect with the strikeouts, and he doesn't have to be Joey Votto with the walks, but the one thing I told a young player this today that reached out to me, a first-round pick this year that just signed, and he's struggling right now in A-ball, and he was asking me a couple questions. I'm like, look, dude, first and foremost, I said, let's get back to the basics. I said, if you want to set some simple goals, like process-oriented goals, I said, let's try to get those walks up and those strikeouts down. And do it, like, for this next week, pick a number, whatever the number is. It's like, I will walk as many times as I strike out. If I strike out, fine, no big deal, but I'm going to walk. Because if you look at some of the greatest hitters in Major League Baseball, the greatest, like unquestionably, it's they walk as much, if not more, than they strike out. I think there's like three or four guys who did it last year. So, it's one of those things that I know scouts look at religiously mm-hmm. when they're trying to evaluate what sort of hitter this guy's going to be going forward.
It makes it sound so easy, and it makes it why it's so much fun to watch Major League Baseball. Well, you just said, and just, you know, walk as many times as you strike out, and you'll be all right, kid. That'll be good. I wish it was that easy. It would make baseball just a whole lot more fun to play. Makes a lot more fun to watch. Eric, appreciate the time, man. We can't wait to talk soon, all right?
All right, guys. Sounds good.
That's Eric Burns joining us from MLB Network. You can catch Eric across all of MLB Network studio programming.
You think they call him Burnsy?
Burnsy, yeah, for sure. That's definitely that.
Yep.
You put a quarter in that guy? Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious. You could go for about an hour and a half.
Burnsy.
That dude was all over
the place. That speed golf is crazy. But it would make sense he plays with a 8-iron. He hits an 8-iron 200. You know,
200 yards.
You're golfer.
200 yards.
200 yards, dude? Are you kidding me?
Can't do it.
Was that a bad question for me to ask if he got to use a cart?
Yeah, because he said he was speed golfing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm thinking speed golf. I'm going to grab one. I'm going to fly with that golf cart. I'm going to be flooring it, cuz. No chance.
Well, that means everybody's the same other than shots. If everybody's using a golf cart, but not everybody is running as fast as Eric Burns or keeping up stamina as long.
That's
when you're
crazy.
Doing 24 hours of speed golf, which means you don't slow down.
Right.
And guys, once more, Brewers Twins tomorrow, exclusively on YouTube, a 1 o'clock start. Mm. Fans, go to youtube.com/MLB, search MLB on the YouTube app. Get the game live for free, no login required. And after the game, Tim Allen and myself, Bayview Shade and Blind Post Game Show, here on The Fan. What was that smirk for? You don't like the idea?
Yeah, whatever. They did Facebook Live, and they tried that, and they've been doing that, and now they're going to try YouTube. It's all about making more money for the sport and getting more of these
free.
It's more about these internet, you know, companies spending buku dollars with Major League Baseball or the NFL and then figuring out a way to make more money. How many people are going to tune in and watch this thing on YouTube? I have no idea. Probably millions. Mm. But it's nice for us because we have computers in front of all of our mics, so we can watch it.
They're also slowly starting to get themselves out of like the 19th century in baseball and into the 21st century.
You know how many things I've watched on YouTube in the last 5 years? Probably less than three.
Okay, well, that's because you're old. So,
probably.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But again, those old people also have money.
Mm.
So that's the issue. Those people in their 20s, Not all of them,
but
some of them
have been
also
watching
don't have
baseball
the money
for years. But like, if you're a young person and you're on YouTube, maybe, oh, hey, I haven't watched baseball in 4 years.
So now this is going to get you to watch it.
Oh, it's free. Nice.
You think so?
Sure.
Okay.
You have kids. You know what they're always doing.
Yeah, they're watching Twitch. They're watching Twitch and learning how to play Fortnite better or learning how to play the new Madden game better or something.
Are those boys doing YouTube stuff yet?
Like recording stuff for YouTube?
No, I mean, I think Brock is doing some watching videos on YouTube.
Yeah, you watch videos
always watching
on YouTube
videos
all
trying
day
to get better at the video games. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So now, like, the new Madden 20 game is out. So now they're watching videos trying to see who's got the latest shortcuts in Madden and how to get better or whatever the case may be.
Just give me the sticks and I'll beat them like a drum for a few weeks and they'll get better.
Yeah.
Guys, Bofording encourages you to drink in the Boff this summer. Bofording 100% natural, made with only 3 natural ingredients. I don't know why you're shaking your head at me, Leroy. Fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That's it. No additives, no artificial flavors. Just beer made with a commitment to quality. You'll notice the difference. A little bit. You'll notice the difference with superior ingredients and what they make when you enjoy the crisp pilsner. That's the flagship beer. Can I get a flagship?
Flagship!
The smooth triple.
Smooth.
The perfect balance brewed. Thanks to Bofording 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality. All of its brews give you the full flavor with a crisp, clean finish.
That's your friend, Steve.
You can drink in the Boff at places like Cafe Hollander, Cafe Pedalux, the Nomad and Sport Club. You'd rather drink in the Boff in the comfort of your own home? Grab a six-pack, Total Wine and More. Consumer beverage, or any Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly locations. If you're drinking in the Boff this week, make sure to let me know at Bill Schmidt Radio. It's Bofording Bill telling you to go all natural and drink in the Boff this summer with Bofording beer. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Somebody put a quarter in Gary, so we'll ask him about his alma mater next. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
Well, the jury agreed. They listened to all the evidence, they heard all the witnesses, and they came back quickly and decisively with a not guilty verdict. Because the answer was clear, they said. The answer that was so clear to the jury should also be clear to the UW administration. And we implore the chancellor and everyone else involved in this decision making to do the right thing now.
The attorney for Quintez Cephas yesterday at a hearing. Quintez Cephas, former Wisconsin Badger wide receiver. This is the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. The Quintez Cephas story has taken on a little bit of a life of its own, Gary Ellerson, and the way it's been now gotten to after the courts, Quintez Cephas found not guilty quickly, as you heard his attorney say there, but UW still on a holdup of if they are going to allow him back into school. And they want to see some transcripts of the trial. They want to go through and see a lot of proceedings. And, Gary, it appears that this would be a filibuster to keep Quintez Cephas out of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah, it'd be a huge filibuster, Billy. You know, and I understand Wisconsin had their policies up front. You know, if this happens, then B happens, then C happens. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have...
They have protocol for this.
I think protocol, safeguards in place in case things.
Sure.
I'm good with that. But now that you follow protocol, and we're going to have Van Stout. He's going to come on with us about 4:48, and he's very knowledgeable. I mean, I've been knowing Van Stout since I was with Wisconsin in 1981, and he's been affiliated with the university before I was there in 1981. So he knows just about everything you can know about the Badgers on the inside. But I would say right now it's imperative to the university right now to do the right thing. And to do the right thing is to let this young man back in school and not drag their feet. Because listen, you don't want things to get twisted or negative. We're living, I'm just going to be straight with 100 because I'm trying to dodge stuff and not really say what I want to say. But we live in a very tenuous society right now as far as race relations are concerned. And whether they like it or not, the UW system, Wisconsin in particular, Madison, they're in a right in the middle of this storm that's about to come. And what they need to do is do the right thing by this young man. I mean, it took them a half an hour to find this guy innocent. So now we don't need to be dragging our feet. Let's let this guy back in and let's let him get back on the football field and just, you know, really be what we call a student athlete and do what he wants to do, like what he deserves to have. I mean, he's had his day in court, and it was unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
quickly, like you said, within a half hour.
So we've done that. Now, I don't know why UW now is dragging their feet with this process. It just makes us look. It just makes UW look bad.
Quintez Cephas, this is a quote. "I'm not angry at all. The whole time I've had the support of my brothers and everybody who knew me, I've had a chance to show my real character outside of sports. I took that very seriously. I was able to be happy through the entire situation. It was ups and downs, but my brothers supported me the whole time. I've learned from it. I'm very thankful. The circumstances were tough, but I am thankful." 18 Wisconsin football players showed up yesterday to offer Quintez Cephas, their former wide receiver, their support, including safeties Scott Nelson, Jack Cohen was there, also star running back Jonathan Taylor, Zach Bond, to name a few, Chris Orr. There were big-time players there, and Sparky, it just... You feel like knowing Wisconsin Madison and knowing Badger football for my entire life in this sense, it feels to me like if Barry Alvarez wanted this done, it could have already been done.
Now, Barry Alvarez doesn't have that pull.
Doesn't have any power anymore.
Doesn't have that anymore?
Nope, does not. If this was Donna Shalala, he'd already be on the football team.
Yeah.
Donna Shalala never would have kicked him off the football team, and he would have let the whole thing play it out. Look and see what she's done with the Hurricanes down there and all the stuff that's happened down in Miami since she's been down there. So I mean, from that aspect, it all depends who's running this thing. And the person running this thing now isn't a sports first person. And that happens from time to time at universities. And sometimes you have somebody at the top of the food chain that loves them some sports and is willing to do whatever the AD wants in order to get their sports in a better position. I just think from the aspect of if they don't allow him to come back nationally, I think this is going to be a huge story. If they allow him to come back, you're going to have some fight of people thinking maybe that he shouldn't be back for whatever the reason, I'm sure. But I think, I got no inside information, I think they're going to drag this thing out as long as humanly possible and hope he decides to go somewhere else because he's sick of waiting. And they're just going to say, well, we're still looking into things. We're still investigating. We're still looking. And the next thing you know, it's October and the college football season's almost done and he's wasted a whole season.
Right. And that would be two straight years.
Right. And see, that's the issue for me. If I'm him, do you want to play this year or not? Because I think, I could be wrong, but I think he could go play anywhere this year. I don't think he has to sit out because he was released from the program. I don't think it's a transfer situation. They let him go for, you know, the reason of conduct or code of conduct or whatever. So if he wanted to go play at Ohio State, if they had a scholarship opening or Michigan or whatever, or that whatever that case that may be, then he can do that. Now, how many schools actually have a scholarship open that they're not using at this time of season? I can't imagine there's many to leave him with options-wise as far as where he could go walk in right now and play, and the season's all about ready to start. I mean, you missed all of spring camp, and now you're already into fall camp. So now you got to learn a playbook, get on the same page chemistry-wise with the quarterback, and he is really behind it right now. The only situation where he could come in and get on the field and play right away within the first couple of weeks would probably be the Badgers because he knows the offense and he knows everything that goes along with it.
Seven players penned a four-page letter and sent it to Rebecca Blank, the chancellor of UW-Madison, and in there is a quote that they ask that this be handled with a sense of urgency due to time sensitivity in this situation. Quote, "You and your staff now have an opportunity to make a fully informed decision for the first time. Continuing, your decision can alleviate a racial tension felt by students. You get to decide whether the university confirms or corrects this feeling. You get to decide if the University of Wisconsin is comfortable with where they are or choose to move forward with the betterment of all of the past, present, and future Badgers. We ask you to do so. Please do what is right and fair. Clear Quintez's name and reconsider the punishment of a person, one of your students, who was found not guilty of what he was accused of."
I sadly, this is going to be used as a deterrent. If you get in any trouble, you're out. That's why it drags it out. Otherwise, you know how your grandmother says this is too much like right? Those things never get done. Because the university has to think about its branding and its name of people getting in trouble. Whether you get, you know, listen, whether he was guilty or not, people already formed their opinion.
Sure.
Yeah, ain't none of this down there, Roy.
Ain't none of this to, you know, jury. No, come on. How many people still think O.J. did it? right? So people are forming their opinion. They ain't never leaving. That's why if you leave it up to these committees, this, but it's supposed to say, if you go through the jury system, you're good. You cleared your name. You go back to where you were. Now, the NCAA has done this many days. Go back and give guys their years back for injuries and for a lot of things. They can go back and get them, start them all over, get them an education and do all of that. But guess what? That'll be too much like right.
414-799-1250. This is the Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day. Hear from Aaron Rodgers next on the Wendy's Big Show. Van Stout joins us at 4:48 to discuss the inner workings of this Quintez Cephas situation and where can this go from here that would be positive. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh on 105.7 FM, The Fan, also on AM 1250. Also can stream us at radio.com. Make sure to favorite 105.7 The Fan, FM The Fan, if you follow us on radio.com, where you can get all the fun notifications whenever we have somebody big on, like Bill Michaels and David Stearns on last week it was, and you'd know right away because you get that push notification to your phone. All right, let's hear from Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who spoke earlier today in Green Bay.
That's Aaron Rodgers.
Who was that player he was talking about?
It was MVS, I believe, because I saw the video of him throwing it up and trying to get him on like a deep corner route where the ball just hangs up there. MVS standing the ball 55 yards down the field waiting for it to come down. Not many guys Aaron Rodgers is going to overthrow either.
No, not many.
That's a feat and a half. We'll talk to Van Stout about what's going on in Madison coming up next and where does he feel the truth is lying with this Quintez Cephas situation. But first, Gary Ellerson and Roy Butler.
Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, folks. The best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process, and folks. And right now they're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. Don't pay until June of 2020. Experience the Pella difference when you work with Gina Della from Pella. You work with her and her entire team. They're there to make your job run smooth, folks. And don't worry about the weather. The Pella team installs year-round.
Roy Lee?
Roy Lee?
Well, I'm waiting for him.
What you got for him, Roy Lee?
Give me an assist. I mean, he looked like he took the shot himself.
Leroy Butler, how did they get a hold of these good people over at Pella Windows and Doors?
You can go there. Hey, thank you, Billy.
I got you.
You can go to PellaWI.com, or you can give them a phone call, 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600.
Van Stout gives us the latest. You want
to? And tell them.
Jesus, nothing's ever easy with this.
Nothing's ever easy. Never. Goodness gracious. Okay, I'm turning snorted. turning your microphone off, and we're back after this on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Leap 36, Leroy Butler, and former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Van Stout. Van Stout covered Gary Ellerson while he was with the Wisconsin Badgers. That's how long Van has been around this football team. Van, appreciate the time in joining us today under such circumstances with the Quintez Cephas situation down there in Madison.
Appreciate it. I've been around longer than dirt, and you know how long dirt's been around. So what does that say about GE? I don't know.
I want to know how much money did Wisconsin give Gary to come up here from Georgia. I mean, you can text it to me. I mean,
you know what? They're still unloading the trucks.
See, I knew it.
And hey, Van, you need to stop that, man. Let's get down to another guy from Georgia. So what's going on with the case with Cephas? Now, we're hearing some things that they may let him back in, they may not, they're still dragging their feet on the decision. Can you give us some insight on what is going on today?
Well, I would say that the latest is, you know, obviously the attorneys, they had their own news conference yesterday. I think they're actually trying to force the hand for the university to have the opportunity to expedite the process. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts of this puzzle. Number one, school's going to start in just a few short days. So they're going to have to get Q academically ready to go if, in fact, this comes to fruition. That's a major hurdle. Number two, obviously, I think the university, even last year, and, you know, it's in the student code book that he could have been suspended as he was from the football team at the time of these charges. Obviously, we know that he's been acquitted of these charges. So I'm a firm believer that everyone deserves a second chance, second opportunity. But I just don't think that the university is going to be moving at breakneck speed to expedite this. I think they want to do their due diligence. I'm not so sure they did their due diligence when he was expelled from school, you know, last spring. And as a result, you know, he didn't play last year. He was kicked off the football team, kicked out of school. And I think that they might be, probably not looking back on that and saying we might have moved a little bit too hastily in terms of, you know, getting him out of school, never mind the fact that he was dismissed from the football team. So I think there's still a lot of moving parts from the university, from the chancellor's office, and no matter what Q's attorneys say, the university is going to move at their own pace, and no one's going to make them move faster or slower. It's just going to have to, they're going to have to go through the process themselves to make sure that whatever they do is going to be right for the school. But I have a feeling that in the deck of cards that attorneys Myers, and I can't remember the other attorney's name for Q, I think that they've got several tricks up their sleeves, because I think another lawsuit could be in the offing, that they might sue the university because, you know, once Q was acquitted, this is going to be with him for the rest of his life. You Google him if he's looking for a job later in life or whatever, this is always going to be on his record, even though he was exonerated. And, you know, that's going to be a major issue for him to have to come to grips with the remainder of his adult life.
Okay, so part of this, too, with me is because of his age and where he is in school and so forth, if they drag this out into, you know, October or whatever, and the season's pretty much done at that point before they let him in, is there a chance where he just says to heck with school and just enters the NFL draft and is done with this thing?
Well, I mean, now he's working on his second year, even though he said he's been working out on his own. As you guys would know in the room there, that, you know, working out on your own and then getting hit and pads and things like that's totally different.
Right.
But bottom line is, I'm sure he's in, you know, better shape than an old cuss like me. But, you know, I still maintain that you're out of the sport for 2 years. It's going to be very difficult for him to try to get back into any kind of football shape. I don't care if he goes to, you know, a D3 school, D2 school, or has the opportunity to go to another, to a D1 school. I think that's going to be an enormous challenge for him to come to grips with.
Talking with Van Sout here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan has covered the Badgers ever since Gary Ellerson was running around there and all that's through the Barry Alvarez run. He said old as dirt, but I'm not going to say that because I'm a nice guy, and he's joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Van, when you look at, and for me as a longtime observer of Wisconsin sports, it feels like that if that this would have already been done right now. So there's a difference in the room, or am I perceiving it wrong?
Well, Paul Chris has already come out and said they would welcome Q back to the team. They would love to have him be a part of the team. And if you had the opportunity to see any of the footage from yesterday's news conference, I mean, you had a lot of the luminaries on this year's team. I mean, you had Jordan Taylor, you had Cohen, you had, several other guys that are starters, first-line players. So he obviously has the support of his teammates, even though he's been removed from the sport better than a year and a half. So that, I think that's important in terms of the continuity of this program and in terms of just what happens within the confines of a locker room. I think that he has their support. I think they want him back. I think he wants to come back. But there, like I said, there's an awful lot of moving parts that have to come and fit within this very complicated puzzle for that to happen. And to say that that's going to happen in a span of about maybe 2 weeks or less, boy, that seems like an impossible dream to me. I mean, you know, it took the jury less than 45 minutes to come up with a verdict exonerating him from these charges. But it's going to take this university, you know, I mean, they probably had to figure as soon as that verdict came in and he was found not guilty of these charges, the university had to be thinking, okay, what is the next step here? And if they'd have been doing their due diligence, maybe they could have already started this process, thinking that Quintez might have wanted to come back to school. I think that was the popular belief, and they could have maybe gotten ahead of the curve. But, you know, this is the process that they have to go through. They've deemed that this is the way they want to go through the process. And, you know, the guy that's kind of on the tail end of the dog here is Q, and he has to wait on the university to determine what they want to do or what their next course of action is in regards to either getting him back into school. And there is an academic issue there. Just talk to GE. I mean, you know, it's called a scholarship, but it's an academic scholarship as well as an athletic scholarship. And, you know, I'm sure that he's probably done his due diligence, at least from his last year of being in school, where his grades were to the point where he was eligible to remain as a player. But, you know, he's been out of school for better than a year. Now he has to get re-enrolled. And I don't think that just happens overnight.
Yeah, Van, I want to dive in a little bit more deeper. Has any of the people on the jury had a chance to explain what was the reason why he was exonerated and why was it so fast they came back with not guilty? Maybe the university wants to find a little bit about that a little bit more before they, you know, they just want, okay, well, what was the details of the case and what happened, so they'll have something to back up. Because ultimately, the compliance office is going to say, listen, we can terminate a guy anytime we get ready. We don't need some.
Right.
They can do whatever they want, but you've got to have a due diligence to these kids, because you're right, it's an education.
I haven't seen any comments, quotes, or any tape of any of the jurors who were interviewed following this trial. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was just something that the local media did not pursue, or maybe they've been, you know, they don't want to speak. I don't know that. I mean, it seems like, at least for the attorneys that Q had secured, I think they were very confident all along the process that they were going to, however long this marathon took, they were going to prevail. And ultimately, when it only took the jury 45 minutes to come up with a verdict, obviously, I think that all of their due diligence had been well-founded, that, you know, in the charges of things, that they didn't feel that rape was committed and it was consensual sex, and everyone moves on. You know, now, obviously, there are still some hurt feelings.
What about the civil side on both sides? Has this young lady filed a civil complaint? Other than that, to get her justice, or did Q file a civil complaint against her and the school for wrongful termination?
I think that's yet to be determined. I think, again, round two or round three of this, I think that depending on what happens here, I think that there could be a suit on the behalf of Q's attorneys that says, okay, hey, he was wrongfully expelled from school.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to have this albatross around his neck for the remainder of his adult life. There needs to be some form of compensation here, because think about it. You know, you are trying to apply for a job or whatever it might be, and this is going to be on your record. Even though he was found innocent by a jury of his peers, nevertheless, that is going to be on your record. Somebody, you know, Googles you or whatever the case is. And I think that that's going to be very, very difficult for him to have to deal with the remainder of his, you know, adult life, where he's going to be, if he doesn't have the opportunity to continue his career in football, then he's got to do something else. Whether he goes into coaching, or he gets his degree, or whatever avenue of life he pursues, this is still going to be a major thing for him to have to come to grips with.
Well, is it safe to say, though, Van, the days of Barry Alvarez and Donna Shalala no longer exist? Because it just felt like that at one point in time that Barry had maybe a little bit more juice than he does right now. It feels like maybe the new president and the way they're running things is a lot different than the way that maybe Donna Shalala and Barry together ran them.
Well, I mean, it is a different era. Obviously, Barry was football coach back then. Now he's obviously AD. There is a new sheriff in Rebecca Blank. I think that she has her own agenda, and I think the way that she's taken about this, and I'm sure based upon people that have been in her ear from the legal side of the university to the point, I mean, you know, GE, you were here for a number of years, and you know the climate in Madison, and, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent for what happened to Q and what the events entailed, there will be an awful lot of people who will be coming out in form of demonstrations, complaints, or whatever, if he were to be reinstated, number one, to the school, number two, to the football program. You know, there are still people who believe that, okay, well, even though he was exonerated, they still feel that, okay, he did wrong, And
so it's going to be a PR nightmare for university, either way, you think?
I think that that is...
Either way. Least,
exactly. I think that, so the university has to look at this from both sides of the fence. You know, what's good for the university? What's good for Quintez? You know what I mean? So I think this is why they're trying to be at least as thorough as they possibly can. But you would think, with all of the investigations, all the reports that occurred from the time this event occurred, charges were filed or whatever, that they would have done their due diligence, and it shouldn't take this long for them to come to a conclusion in this point where it says, okay, we're going to readmit him back into school. There are some academic hurdles he has to clear before we can at least get him back on the football team. You know, once those have been at least perhaps, taken care of, then I'd love to see him back out on the football field. But I'm the betting man that I am. I'm not sure that's going to happen, at least in the next day or so. Let's put it that way.
Van, appreciate your insight on the situation. We'll keep tabs on it with you as well.
I appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Thanks. That's Van Stout joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Wendy's Big Show resets next with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.